skip it, stream it, see it, binge views. It's time for binge views. Law, Grill, and Chatsy on some new releases. Don't worry about spoilers. Binge views.
Welcome to Binge Views. It is late on a Thursday night. I have my sexy voice on. I'm Jim Law. I'm here with the amazing Chatsy. Yay!
Wow, I've never gotten a standing ovation applause from
you. I didn't stand up. I did not stand up.
I think you did.
Okay.
In my mind, you did.
Do you have fantasies of getting standing ovations just by me?
Yeah, that and then your cat just in the background. Just.
I think great. I gave you a standing ovation at Lollapalooza when you won the movie league, or was it the hottie league then? I don't know.
Oh yeah, 2 years ago. Yep.
I think I had to stand up to give you the reward. That's why I stood up.
I remember flipping Kepka off from the stage. It was beautiful.
That's amazing. These are all life highlights.
And now it's even more memorable because there's no more binge movie fantasy league. So
that's right. Kepka took it over, made it bigger than ever, and then quit.
a total of like four champs for his version of it, or maybe not even that many.
Yeah, I don't care. This is his business plan when he came to us. He says, yeah, your hottie league, it's all right, but I'm gonna make it way better, way cooler, and then stop doing it. All right, we're like, okay, cool.
It's a good strategy. I mean, shenanigans are involved always, but hey, what can you do? Especially if he wins the final year, so.
Oh, that would be a fucking kick to the ass on the way out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we should just shut it down now. Fuck that. You have the power, right? You run this site. You can just shut that shit down.
We're done. That's it. All right, special episode of Binge Views this week. We got, not only do we have two brand new movies from Chad C, we're going to do Chad C's top 10 films of 2018. I'm very Hell excited. Yes. Very, very excited about this. Mostly because when we go throughout the year, you'd think I'd know what your top 10 films are, right? Like, you'd think I'd have in my mind, oh, like, these are the ones he raved about. I can't remember fucking anything you say. I don't think I remembered. I remember every once in a while, if I see the movie, I remember. Or if it stays in my mind, and then I'll go see it. But otherwise, I just, like, I don't know if he'd like that. I don't know if he'd like. I was thinking the movies in my top 10, and I'm like, did Chad see like any of these? I have no idea. I have no idea if you liked any of those movies.
Are you ever going to release your top 10? I know you guys did your favorite movie, like things of 2018, but
yeah, I don't know. No. I might. Okay. Maybe we'll do it in a Facebook or the art.
People love lists, man. They fucking love them. They just lose their minds about them. So,
all right. Well, then let's give them one. But first, what are these first two movies? Now you got Replicas. This is Keanu, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Was this, is this straight to streaming? What is this? Is this in theaters?
Yeah, no, it's in theaters, man. It's officially a wide release this weekend.
Because this popped up online in HD today.
Oh, that is not a surprise. So, I guess we're starting with this. So, okay. Yes. It is, this was Entertainment Studios. It's a relatively new company. Byron Allen actually owns this studio. He last year they had the Hurricane Heist in Chappaquiddick, their biggest claim to fame is 47 meters down, which I guess that's kind of explains everything you need to know about this studio. Mm-hmm. Yes, Replicas is Keanu Reeves, Alice Eve, Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley. It is a sci-fi movie about Keanu, his family. They suffer a catastrophic car accident, and he is tasked. His whole family dies. That's in the trailer, not spoiling. Mm-hmm. And he is tasked with, he's got to bring this family back. He can't live without his family, of course. And so him and Thomas Middleditch are scientists for a company called, I believe it's Biodyne or something of that nature. And they are going to bring them back to life and clone them, and he will never, you know, he won't be without his family. So I cannot envision a world where this is a movie that they took seriously while filming it. It is, it is, it's almost one of those movies that is so amazingly bad, it's good. I watched this with a wife, and we were, like, dying laughing throughout a lot of this movie. Yeah, there's the CGI in it. They, so they model a, one of these replicas. So he's trying to get artificial intelligence into, like, a robot, essentially, and make this for his company, and they're not successful at all. So doing it with a family is a huge risk. They could come out crazy, fucked up, and, you know, dismembered and everything. But the robots they use are, like, modeled after, like, a T-800, but the CGI is so much worse than the Terminator. Like, even, I mean, that movie's dated. I love the Terminator, don't get me wrong, but the CGI, you know, it's left, something left to be desired. It's an 80s movie. And this is even worse than that. It is, like, stop motion level bad. Oh, it's pretty rough, man. Keanu is so, let's just put it this way. When his family dies, there's, like, zero bit of emotion. He's just like, I gotta save him. Like, not crying, not weeping, nothing like that. Any questions about this one, man?
Okay, this is the way you describe it. I have little questions that make me giggle. Is his family life, like, the absolute perfect dream before they get crashed?
For the most part, yeah. He's got a super hot wife. Alice Eve plays his wife. He's got three, you know, great kids and everything. So, yes, it's playing it up that he's got such an amazing life. He's this rich scientist. They've got a really nice house and everything. So, yeah.
Is Silicon Valley guy super geeky fucking smart guy? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Pretty much. Yeah. He's kind of the goofy sidekick, the comedy relief here, but he's also ultra smart. He's the one who has been cloning things at the factory or their lab unsupervised. So, yeah, he's kind of a little bit of the brains behind this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This sounds like it's been done quite a few times before.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 1,000 times.
Okay. You say it's almost so bad it's good. Keanu, just a couple years ago, had one of these movies. That movie with the two chicks that came over to his house. What was that called?
Oh, Knock Knock.
Oh, my God. That Eli Roth movie. Now, that... Yeah,
fuck. That, I hated that
movie. Yeah, okay. So what... Is there a difference between these two movies? Are they both equally bad, or is this one better? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they're both pieces of shit, don't get me wrong, but this is almost, it's humorous, though. I think that people will get, I mean, it's not even, it's like an hour and a half, hour and 40, mm-hmm. 7 minutes, yeah. It's the poster itself says, from the producer of Transformers. It's just one of the producers. It's killing it here. The poster looks like something straight out of, like, a horrible 90s movie. Yeah, man, I would say I like this more, I guess, than Knock Knock that we're comparing it to, because I really, really hated that movie.
Yeah.
We've talked about this many times. I really don't like Eli Roth at all. But yeah, it just seems like Keanu's definitely doing this for a paycheck. I can't believe this is not a straight streaming or, yeah, video on demand or anything like that. This is right up that. It feels exactly like that.
Yeah, I thought it was like a Netflix movie when I saw it today. I was like, well, I thought this was going to theaters, but it's like, it's on all the sites. I'm like, huh, they must have.
Yeah.
Either someone fucked up or someone was just like, just release it. Who cares?
Yeah, so apparently, I guess there was a private screening at the Toronto International Film Festival last year for some people, and that's when entertainment studios threw their hat in the ring, and they're like, yeah, we want to buy this. So it's got a production budget of $30 million, and I think they'll be lucky to even getting about $20 million for this, because I think it's probably projected to be like $3 or $5 million this weekend. They kind of threw it out here second week of January. So, yeah, I don't think they have much faith in this anyway. So, yeah.
All right. So I'm assuming this is a big skip it.
It is, yeah. Unless you want to get schlitzed, just get really fucked up with some friends and watch this. Because, I mean, I think there's some pretty funny qualities about this. You can get out of it. But other than that, yeah, no, you're not going to want to sit down and watch this, because it's pretty fucking bad. But...
Okay. All right. I have no friends, by the way. Thanks for bringing that up.
Uh-huh. Sad.
All right. The other one is called Upside, a remake of... a movie that won Best Foreign Picture, or was nominated for Best Picture, called The Untouchables. Now,
yes,
I've had this for years. I never watched it. My wife watched it. She loved it. and I've never, because of subtitles, I never ended up watching at work, and I don't have time at home. That's my issue. Did you see it?
I have never seen The Untouchables, no.
Untouchables.
Untouchables. Okay. Sorry, I've been drinking too long. It's late at night. We get to drink. yes, I've never seen it. It made a fuck ton of money, like $625 million internationally. Mm-hmm. Very well liked. Yeah, I think you're right. It was at least nominated for Best Picture, or not? Sorry, Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah.
But yes, this is also one of the final Weinstein properties.
Ooh.
It was sold off a few years back, so it was filmed a few years back, and STX is the studio that bought this from the Weinstein company, so it was like one of his final ones. So yeah, I think this is relatively, I think it screened at TIFF in 2017, and yeah, so we've got Bryan Cranston is a quadriplegic, he's a millionaire, and Kevin Hart is a recent out of jail, looking for a job. He's got a baby mama and his son who he's estranged from, and he's trying to form a relationship with them again. And so he's looking for a job, and they put out that he needs a life auxiliary, Bryan Cranston's character. And Nicole Kidman is one of his assistants, and she is tasked with hiring this guy. And he is the least qualified person that they interview. But because of that, Phil, who's played by Bryan Cranston, he's got something for this guy. That's why he wants to hire him, because he's not going to look at him a certain way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's their relationship throughout this movie. It's a little over 2 hours, so for a comedy, it's 2 hours and 5 minutes. It's a little longer, but this is a fine watch. It's serviceable. You're not missing out if you miss this by any means, but it's also it was completely fine for a for what it was. Any questions?
Yeah, lots. Okay. This is a January release, obviously. Is the whole Weinstein thing the reason this is being dumped in January?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, man. Yeah, STX is they're still trying to get their feet off the ground, too. They're kind of like entertainment studios, except they are a little bit bigger. They've had some bigger box offices. Like Bad Moms is their big claim to fame, and then Bad Moms Christmas. So yeah, and then so they're still trying to figure it out. But it wouldn't surprise me, yes, if the second week of January, I guess I'd just throw it out there and hope for something, hope for a little bit of a bump here.
All right. So I had a theory when I watched the trailer for this, and I watched it with my wife, and like as I said, she saw Untouchables and she liked it a lot. And I kind of looked at her after, and she's kind of like, she's a Kevin Hart fan. Like, she kind of likes, she makes him, he makes a laugh, and not that she mm-hmm. goes out and sees every movie, but she doesn't hate Kevin Hart, okay? So yeah. After she watched the trailer, I kind of looked at her, and I'm like, does that fit? Like, and she's just like, no. Like, it felt so, so wrong. Now, I know you can't compare the two, but I had a feeling, like, in the trailer, they played up this as kind of a little bit more of a Kevin Hart movie than it really is. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. He's definitely more subdued in this role. He's not his like wacky, you know, out there just super obnoxious character. He's definitely more reserved in this. You know, he's got his one-liners and stuff, and their relationship, their chemistry is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So he plays off Cranston a lot. But yeah, it's not, I can understand why they are marketing it as that, but mm-hmm. it's definitely a more subdued character for Kevin Hart.
So is he good, though? Is Kevin Hart decent in this movie?
Yeah, surprisingly, he's not bad. I'm not a big Kevin Hart fan at all. I think I've talked about that many times on this podcast. Yeah. I've never really found him that funny. I think his best role, honestly, is in his cameo in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. When he's talking to Romany Malka's character. But yeah, he's fine. He's fine in this. He's not a distraction or anything. And yeah, I mean, it was a fine performance.
Any other, because I keep going back to the January thing, because any other year, this could have easily been marketed as a fucking award season movie. You got uh-huh. Cranston playing quadriplegic, like that's Oscar bait right there, right?
Yeah,
he's been having these type of roles for the last few years, and then you get the you know, you get the kind of turn for Kevin Hart to a more serious role. It would have been marketed very much differently, I think, if it was released in award season. But yeah, it just seems weird. Do you see? Does it have any of that type of potential? Had it had the money behind it and that type of care towards it?
No, I don't think so. No, it's just very much. There's not enough dramatic elements, I don't think, to warrant that. It's still very much a comedic movie. There's some scenes where it's sad. You know, he meets a girl that he's been riding through, and she's not really up for dealing with his disability. So, I mean, there's some dramatic scenes like that, but they're very few and far between. So I think this is a pretty straightforward comedy. And so I don't think, I can never see this being up for any awards considerations or anything like that.
Really? This is a straightforward comedy?
Pretty much, man. Yeah, you've got a little bit of Kevin Hart and his family drama and a little bit of that, but they really don't touch on it too much. It's more so just their relationship, these two guys, just very, not typical people that would be together here, but it works. And, you know, they smoke joints, they get high together, and they just go on adventures. They do like random shit, and it's a lot of like Kevin Hart. He's got to put a catheter in Bryan Cranston, and it's a lot of that. And yeah, I mean, it's not slapsticky, but there's definite a lot of comedic elements here.
Well, that's like, I didn't think it was. I was thinking it was more of a like the original, I guess, because I know the original was very well loved, like you said, overseas. And got a lot of respect over here too, and I think it was that type of movie that I'm talking about, like an award season type movie. But
yeah, exactly.
Oh well, all right. So what is the overall feelings
about
it?
This would be a stream. It's like I said, it's a serviceable watch. You're not gonna miss out by not watching this though. So it's a fine 2 hours. Put it on, and yeah, just their chemistry is great. And Bryan Cranston's phenomenal as always. So he's also having to defend himself a bunch against playing a quadriplegic. Of course, everybody's losing their minds about that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, why? Because they didn't cast a real quadriplegic? Like, I don't know. What are they mad about?
Dude, I don't know. It's just fucking society these days. They're just getting mad about everything. You want to find something to yell at. So
he's whitewashing quadriplegics. What? Exactly. All right. Well, okay. First of all, let's see what's coming out next week, just before we get to your big list.
So next week is... only wide release is Glass next week. Oh. And it's already pretty divisive, man. I don't know if you saw anything about it, but it's people are divisive. But since we don't like to do just one movie a week, if Beale Street Could Talk, I talked about it last week, that goes more wide this week, so I will get a chance to watch that. And then On the Basis of Sex as well goes wide. That's the Ruth Bader Ginsburg biopic. Mm-hmm. So I think I can fit those in as well before, so we don't just have one movie for next week, even though I think we could cover a lot with just one. So, yeah.
Okay. What? Glass. I wasn't interested in it, and then we did that fucking commentary last weekend, and now I want to see it pretty bad, so.
Yeah. Did you like Split? I haven't listened to the commentary yet.
I kind of did. A little more this time. I got to watch it a little more because I watched it at work and it was a fucking cam copy the first time. I complained about this the whole time we were talking about it.
Okay.
I rewatched Unbreakable a few years ago and I didn't think it held up as much as I loved it. I loved it. Like, I fucking loved that movie when I came out of the theater. Uh-huh. And when I rewatched it, I was kind of like, I had turned sour against M. Night, you know what I mean? At that point, like.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He was going up when I saw it. And then when I rewatched it, he was going way the fuck down. So that was just where I was at in my own head. But yeah, I think Split was a really great comeback for him. I think it's a dream role for McAvoy. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how he handles it all. Now, you're saying it's divisive. Does that mean a lot of people love it, a lot of people hate it?
It's what it looks like. From when I looked, the Rotten Tomato score, which I don't like ever looking at those, but it was like 38% or something like that. So kind of shocking. Oh, it's at 36 right now. So yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't base my fucking opinions off goddamn. There's 36 reviews right now, 13 fresh, 23 rotten. So we'll see. I'm excited to watch it. I am going to revisit Unbreakable and Split this week in preparation, like I like to do for the podcast. So I'm not a big fan of Split though. I think it's a really good performance based on a pretty mediocre movie. So we'll see. Right. We'll see. Okay.
All right. Well,
maybe I'll have second opinions. So.
Yeah. All right, sir. Let's get to it. Little extended version of Benji is this week. Starting from number 10, you should start your top 10 movies of the year.
All right. So I got some honorable mentions, pure per usual.
Okay. All right.
I have to do. Those are going to be Upgrade or Ninja Upgrade, as we like to call on this podcast. You started that. It was pretty great. You Were Never Really Here, Lynn Ramsey, Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yes.
I really did enjoy that movie. Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary, which we got a Tom Hanks biopic coming out later this year. Black Klansman as well, Spike Lee. And then Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson's stop-motion movie. I really enjoyed that. So they didn't quite make the top 10, but I really like all those movies. So, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Number 10 is A Quiet Place.
Oh.
That's my number 10 of the year. I've not seen any of John Krasinski's other movies he's directed, but the fact that he did this, I was super pumped. I watched this movie 3 times in the theater.
Whoa.
Granted,
did you ever
you're
pay
right.
For it,
I
though?
Work for a movie theater company.
Yeah,
but...
did you pay for it ever?
No, I did not. But I did watch it with the public one of those 3 times.
Oh, how good of you. How nice of you, sir. Way to go.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do that.
For the people.
Sometimes it's pretty awful, but I'm spoiled because I watch a lot of movies by myself, and it's great. But, yeah, I didn't have any complaints about this. But, yeah, man, I'm very – it definitely has some of faults. I think you guys touched on this a few weeks ago on the Binge Cast. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, why would you get pregnant when this shit's going on? But at the same time, I can't put myself in their shoes.
I have no faults with this movie. This is my second favorite movie of the year. Like, those fucking guys can go suck a dick because I don't have any problems with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I dug it, man. The sound design that he does in this, like, just that alone, it's great. I mean, it's just super enthralling. And this is a movie I will be revisiting for years. So, I don't really have too much negative to say about it, but that's my number 10. So. Anything on that, Law? I know you like that movie.
No, I'm just very excited. No, I don't have questions about any of your top 10. I'm just,
all right.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm impressed with myself because I've seen every movie you've mentioned so far. So I'm waiting for you to throw one at me that I haven't seen.
All right. So number 9, a few weeks ago on the Binge Cast, I was on with you and Jack and I reviewed this movie early and I've watched it since then. And I don't do that with animated movies or superhero movies that often. But guess what? Into the Spider-Verse. It's going to be my number 9. I think there's something to be said for a superhero movie that is still can be innovative, and it's like it came straight from a comic book. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, I think with more viewings, I think there's just going to be more things that I pick up from this. I love this movie. It's super funny. The music is pretty good. It's pretty fun. I mean, the animation is just next level. It's great. So, yeah, it's kind of a shocker for me because I don't usually have animated movies or superhero movies. They're not, I mean, I like them. I watch them, but they're not usually my favorite things of the year. So the fact that it cracked my top 10 is pretty impressive.
Right. Well, I hope Moreno listens to this because I tried to sell that motherfucker on that Binge Cast on this fucking movie, and he had wanted none of it.
Yeah, I don't understand that because I mean I think even Jack and I think Alex and I's opinions usually line up pretty well. I think I gravitated towards him a lot when I first started listening to you guys because we do have a lot of the same favorite like top 10. I think we have like 8 of the 10 are the same of like our favorite movies of all time. So yeah, I think he definitely needs to stop being such a cocksucker and just watch this damn movie.
That was my point. Thank you.
Yep. So that's number 9. Number 8 is going to be Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade.
Mm.
You've seen this as well, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right, look at us. Yeah, man, this, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I would never expect that Bo Burnham would direct something like this, but I think 4 of my, top 10 here are first time directors. So, Bo Burnham, I can't relate to an eighth grade girl, but in a way he almost makes you kind of relate to her. And the dad in this, Josh Hamilton, I think he's like super sympathetic and it's a great performance all around. The way that, you know, even she has a crush on the boy and it's like this close up of his eyes and the techno that he plays is just so much, so great. The editing and everything, I just really like this movie. Yeah. It's a fun, feel-good movie, for sure. Outside of that awkward car scene, it's close to the end of the movie. Made me feel really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but Elsie Fisher is great, man.
The more I think about this movie, the more I feel like it's a very toned-down version of Mean Girls. Like, you know what I mean? Not too bad. Like, not... It's not... take away a lot of the schlocky comedy, you know what I mean? I love Mean Girls. And I also like this movie a lot, too. You know what I mean? But it just it's in that same vein. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think Elsie Fisher, like a star-making performance from her, too. Like, her first movie. I'm very excited to see what she's doing. Because she's great in this movie. And
yeah.
I'm like you, man. A terrible kid actor will absolutely take me out of the movie. It's not for it, but she does a great job here.
Nice.
So, eighth grade, number eight. Look at that. Oh. Number seven is Mid-90s from director Jonah Hill.
Yes.
We reviewed this on Binge Views as well. I think all these so far we've reviewed on Binge Views. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, this is almost like a movie that was made for me, I feel like. I was born in 89, so...
Jesus Christ.
Mid-90s, yeah, here we go. I'm fucking post-87, yeah, blah, blah, no, just kidding. but, yeah, man, they're playing Street Fighter, F-Zero... I was not in the skate culture too much. I was more like a BMX kid, but all this shit, the music, Wu-Tang, the score is great. It's just like a coming-of-age movie that was just right up my alley. All of it worked for me. Like I said with Bo Burnham, I would have never expected Jonah Hill to be a pretty damn good director, but I'm super excited to see what he's got coming around the pipeline next. Did you end up watching this ever?
I have it. I will be watching it next week for sure when I go back to work.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think Sonny Soljic, this kid, he's just super good. Like, just the relationship. I think I talked about this when I reviewed it, but it's like a teenage version of Super... Well, I guess Superbad is teenagers, but it's like an even younger version of Superbad.
Okay.
Because they just rag on each other, like this group of friends, and it just works. Everything they do. So, nice. Trent Reznor has a great score here, too. So, yeah. Mid-90s.
All right.
Number seven. Number six, we're going with one of the better action movies of the last few years, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's... Oof, there's not... I mean, I think you guys touched on this a few weeks ago, too, on the BingeCast. The fact that they just keep... Every movie just gets better and better with this. It's just so impressive. There's something to be said for that. I mean, Christopher McQuarrie... Every action scene is just so just well put together. The choreography for everything, that bathroom fight scene is just so epic. It's just fucking crazy, dude. Like the like even the plane scene, just on the edge of my seat. And this movie is really long too. It's like 240 or something like that, and it just flies by.
I love this movie. Like, this is my top five, absolutely, for sure. They have a fucking helicopter fight, dude. Like, they...
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like a gunfight. Like, they fight with their helicopters.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's nuts, dude. Yeah, it just keeps amping it up. So I can't... I don't know how they can top it, but I feel like they're going to top it the next one just because they keep doing it each movie.
Fucking amazing.
Outside of Mission Impossible 2. Of course, we could all leave that one. But
yeah.
There's still some redeeming qualities about that, but... Yeah, it's such a good action movie. I think probably maybe my favorite action movie since Mad Max Fury Road in 15. So
that's a good call. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, watch fucking that if you haven't seen it, you assholes. all right, top five. It is Paul Schrader's First Reformed. This is the first movie you've not seen. Maybe
it's the first. I don't even know if I've heard of this. First Reformed.
First Reformed, yes. Hmm. This is he is a Catholic priest who... I think you're going to hate this movie a lot, so let's start there. I think maybe it was a Jack that reviewed this a few months ago. This was the only movie I didn't see in a theater, but I saw when it was streaming a few months back, and I've watched it since then. I didn't stop thinking about this movie. I did a lot of research on this and just exactly what it all meant. It is a very spiritual sequel to Taxi Driver. I think even Jack might have said that as well. Paul Schrader wrote Taxi Driver, of course. He's a minister in a small congregation in New York, and he starts helping out a couple who's got some issues. and he's got his own demons, and he's an alcoholic, and it uses narration very skillfully in this movie too. It a lot of the time narration doesn't work for me, but in this movie it's so perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think this is honestly maybe my favorite performance Ethan Hawke has ever done. He's amazing. He should be, if he's not nominated for an Oscar, which the Oscars are stupid as fuck, they probably won't nominate him, but he absolutely deserves to be nominated here. I really, really dug this movie. There's so many undertones and things to think about afterwards. It definitely doesn't wrap everything up for you at the end, all nice and neat.
But what is it? What is it that makes you think I'll hate it? Like, what? There's got to be something going on here.
It is. It's fucking weird as shit, man. It. There's some like, you have to almost. I don't know. I just don't. It just doesn't seem like it's a movie that I've listened to you for, you know, 10 years now. Yeah. And I feel like I know your sensibilities and your likes. So I think there's just something about this that you're not going to get all on board with. Mm-hmm. It's a very slow burn. It's not, and not to say that you don't like, you know, talky movies or anything like that, but mm-hmm. it's not a movie I think that if you're working on the line that you're going to be super interested in, because you do have to, like soak it all in and absorb it. And I think, honestly, you do need to watch this a couple times to fully get everything that's going on here, because there are so many different elements here. If Paul Schrader never made a movie again, I think he went out with a bang here, because he's done a lot of straight to DVD and VOD movies like The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan and stuff. But mm-hmm. this is it's great. I really, really like this movie.
All right.
Yep. So, all right, we're getting into it now. Number four is a little movie called Mandy.
Oh, shit.
So, yes, Panos Cosmatos directed this movie. It is a Nicolas Cage movie. It is weird as fuck. It is just visually amazing. I love the score for this. I haven't stopped listening to this since I saw it. It's batshit crazy. I think we talked about it on Binge Views. There's a point in this movie like halfway through that it just goes off the wall crazy, and he's just chugging vodka out of the bottle, pouring it on his wounds, and he's got a fucking battle axe, and he just goes to town. And it's such a fun ride. I may have had some weed food while watching this for the first time. But I've also watched it a couple times since. All these movies on my top list, I've seen at least two or three times here. I like to do that. I don't want to just base off my favorite movies off a one-time viewing. But yeah, Mandy's fun. Have you watched Mandy yet?
No. But this is one that I have heard of. A lot of people. You know, it's weird because I'm seeing it pop up on a few top 10 lists of the year. And I'm like I had always thought, even after people had watched it, I was like, it was so bad that people were just promoting it because it was just ridiculous. But now I'm starting to realize, there must be something here. It's not just your normal batshit crazy Nicolas Cage film.
No, yeah, there's a lot to it. It's like a fever dream almost, dude. It's just, there's so much coming at you, these fucking like demon creatures. I mean, it's an absolutely bonkers movie for sure. But yeah, there's definitely more to it than just Nicolas Cage with an axe fucking people up. Of course, he plays crazy really well, but there's more to this movie than that.
All right.
For sure. And there's a full frontal scene of Linus Roach. You get to see Linus Roach peen. Nice. If you like a Law and Order, probably. I don't know. Got nothing. So yeah, that's my number four of the year.
All right.
Number three, a little movie called Sorry to Bother You. You watched this movie, right?
Yep.
I fucking love this movie, man. It is, I think, my favorite. Boots Riley, he's first-time director. He explained this as an absurdist dark comedy with magical realism and sci-fi elements inspired by the world of telemarketing. And that is a pretty good description of this movie, because it's pretty bonkers. It's Lakeith Stanfield is great in this. Armie Hammer, his performance is just phenomenal. He's great in this movie. I never really thought much of Armie Hammer before, but after this movie, I'm a fan. It's another one of those. It gets batshit crazy at the end, and I fully get people that aren't on board with it.
Right.
But for me, it just hooked me, and I was there the entire time, as enthralled by this world that they created in San Francisco. And I had a really good time with this. Did you like this? I don't remember.
I'm a little bit different than you. When it went batshit at the end, it kind of lost me a bit. I love its quirkiness. So, like, I loved the fucking white guy voice. Like, that whole thing was just so fucking hilarious and so brilliantly pulled off. It's just that, it just kept going and going and going farther out of the lines. And after a while, it gets a little tiring. But, yeah, I enjoyed the film.
Yeah, I get it. And this is a movie that I would recommend to, like, certain people, but... Yeah, I get the hate. People don't, if they're not going to dig it, it's not their alley. But I really enjoyed this. I watched it in the theater with like one other person, and it was a public screening too. So there you go. Nice. All right, so that was number three. Number two, I think this is your favorite movie of the year, Hereditary.
It is.
Oh, so it's just, I've seen this movie, I think, 5 or 6 times this year.
Wow.
I watched it a couple times around Halloween. I just love this movie, dude. It's Toni Collette. The fact that she's probably not going to get nominated for an Oscar is such bullshit. She is so phenomenal in this movie. Just the fact that it's not... it is a horror movie, but it's just so centered around this family drama, and just the shit that they have going on. Ari Aster, he's got a new movie coming out in August, which is, if we get to that later, my top 5 most anticipated. That is easily in my top 5 just because of this movie alone. Nice. Just coming out with a bang for his first movie. There's just the subtleties, like her in the corner, you know, at the end of the movie. We all know. It's just so creepy and eerie. I really love this movie. It's so unsettling.
You brought up Divisive earlier. This fucking movie. Now, I've been recommending it to a lot of people. They ask a lot of people, like in my group of friends and in my family, right? They'll be like, "Oh, what's your favorite movie of the year?" And I'll be like, "Hereditary." It's like by far, like it's, Quiet Place and then Hereditary. And most of them have seen Quiet Place, but they haven't seen Hereditary. So, they go and they watch it. And this is a text I got from. I'm gonna pull it up so I don't misquote her. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister. Uh-huh. After I gave it to her, and she watched it. And she says, "I hate you for recommending Hereditary. Happy New Year, asshole."
That's great.
That was on New Year's Eve, and I laughed myself to bed the whole night. But it's just one of those things, man. I don't know. It's right up my alley. It's just, I love a movie that makes me think and makes me research it afterwards. And I did so much of that. I watched this almost twice in a row, like back-to-back nights, because I made my wife watch it immediately. Yep. And even she was like, I don't like it. And then I started getting into it. And we laid up in bed until like 3 in the morning. We're reading fucking articles about it and all this. And I'm like, okay, so this, she was the fucking head of the cult, and then she died. And then, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just all this fucking shit. It's like carried down in the family, and it's just fucking great. And it's weird, like, sometimes a movie goes off the road, like Mother, and I don't feel the need to go look about what the fuck it means, because you know what? It's going to be one of those, it means whatever you want it to mean. Fuck off. I don't want. I don't want that shit.
Uh-huh.
I want a movie that has meaning, and if I don't get it, at least there's answers there for me. And I'm like, oh, right. Okay. That makes sense now. Now I even like it even more.
Yep.
So that's the difference. A lot of people do kind of compare this to Mother. I don't. Because fuck Mother. I like Mother for like, honestly, like 60 to 70% of that movie. I liked it. It was really intriguing to me. And then I just was like, what in the fuck is happening? No one knows what's happening, including the director right now. Why am I reviewing Mother all of a sudden? I don't know. I hope that's not your number one.
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I didn't even
know
when it came up.
It was an honorable mention. It didn't make my top 10. Fuck that movie.
But Hereditary, you know, it's just one of those movies that it never let me stop thinking about it. And there's a fucking, just a wealth of information to go and read about it. And I like that. And some people don't like that. Some people want everything on the screen. They don't want to do research. And I get that. Fine. But if you're so intrigued by a film and it gets you to go read up on it and it makes it better, I think that's great, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Ari Aster, the director, did an AMA on Reddit. Did you ever end up reading that?
No.
I would recommend that too, since you like this movie. He goes into everything. He gets asked a lot of questions about, like, he lays it all out there, and it's super good. So I would recommend doing that too if you enjoyed this movie, because that yeah, definitely enhanced it even more for me. Nice. But yeah, I'm super pumped to see what this guy does next. So yeah, Hereditary number 2, horror movie. There you go.
All right, I'm very excited. I have no idea. I have no idea what your number one is.
You want to make a guess at all?
Well, you know, you don't like superhero movies.
That's not true. God, they're not my favorite. I like them.
It's not going to be your number one. Like, Avengers is not going to be your number one. Is it going to be your number one? It's not going to be your number one.
It didn't even make my honorable mention. Exactly. It's probably top 20. It's a good movie. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, there's also maybe...
Something to be said for a movie that requires a second movie to complete the story for me. So sorry. Right. The first movie. Any guesses? You had that. You said Black Panther.
It's not like. I haven't read a lot of top 10 lists, so there's nothing coming to mind. No, I don't know what it is.
All right, cool. It's Den of Thieves. No, I'm just kidding. all right, that's actually my number one bad movie of the year. Number one came out in February of 2018, the last week of February. It's a movie directed by Alex Garland called Annihilation.
Oh, shit.
Favorite fucking movie. I've watched this like Hereditary. I watched it in the theater, turned around the next day, watched it in the theater again. Within the week, I watched it 3 times in the theater. I was obsessed with this movie. I just delved into it. I've never read the book. Granted, I know people that read the book have problems with it, but I love this movie so much. Ex Machina was one of my favorite movies of 2015 when that came out. Easily my favorite movie of 2018. There's so much, like we were just talking about, after the movie, there's just so much to delve into here. I talked about this movie with a lot of my friends. We watched it together, and everybody has just different opinions about what the ending means, about what this means. And I think, I mean, there's something to be said for that. And a movie that just makes you think, like you were just saying with Hereditary, there's so many questions, but it's not spoon-fed to you. Everything is just like, oh, this is what it is. But the performances are great. And the thing too that I don't get is like, I didn't see this on a lot of people's top 10 lists this year, but it's like, it's everything for, you know, the 2018, like, it's got 5 female leads in this movie, you know, and they're all of like different descent and everything. There's a lesbian in there. There's a black lady. Like there's a lot of different elements here, but it's kind of just seems like it just came and went. It didn't do well at the box office, but I love this movie, man. It's easily number one for the year. Did you end up watching this? I don't know if you...
But this was Netflix, was it not?
So it went up on Netflix in the UK and I think mostly in Europe, yes. But it was Paramount released it in the US, Canada, and then I can't remember where else. But it sold the rights because Paramount was trying to fight Alex Garland about changing the ending and cutting it and making it more, accessible for the public, but mm-hmm. he was like, no, fuck that. And then Scott Rudin, who was the producer, had final cut and said, we're not changing the ending. So
I did watch this, I think maybe the week after it came out on Netflix or whatever. First of all, of the like 13 movies you've named already, and if you were to put a list of all the releases of all year in front of me and give me 50 guesses, this would not been one of the movies I would have guessed. I'm being honest with you right now. Yeah. This is a complete surprise. I love it. I love that I'm completely surprised by your number. It's fantastic. But I also feel bad because I just want this big rant about Hereditary, and it's almost exactly what you love about Annihilation. It's just I didn't feel that after I watched this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There were some really cool moments, especially with like that fucking monster bear shit. Oh, I love that
cow.
Shit. Yeah, and I was like, I was really intrigued. But then, you can say watching shit at work. Sometimes I'm like, if I'm not seeing it, what's going on? And there's a lot of shit going on in this movie visually. I'm kind of taken away from it, and I feel like maybe I owe this another watch.
I think so, man. I think it has a lot of similar themes to Hereditary as well. But I think I don't really have much else to say. I'm kind of just taken aback. It's great. It's a great movie all around. Performances are good. The music is amazing. There's so much to just chew on after it, and I think you definitely need to revisit this, Law.
I will. I will definitely give this a rewatch at some point. Try not to do it at work too. Maybe I'll watch it with the wife. I don't know.
There you go. Are you off a few more days? I think you are, right?
I am, but we're jam packed, sir. We're just jam packed.
Oh, of course. I'm just giving you shit.
I'll try. Now I'm thinking. You mentioned you want to do your most anticipated. I'm thinking maybe we do that next week.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Let's do your top 10 this week. Next week, your most anticipated. Because none of your most anticipated is coming out next week, right? All right. Okay. So we're good. Sorry. Let's break this up so we get more people coming back. Come back.
Sure.
Listen to
we do the chat. Worst. Can we do the worst at least?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So I have five worst of the year. And most of them, honestly, were at the beginning of the year. The 1517 to Paris Clint Eastwood's movie. It was just fucking awful. He had the same people that were involved in the accident come back, and it just sucked so bad.
I remember being completely amazed at this review you gave. I could not believe he had the real people in this movie. That's amazing.
It was so awful. So awful. Truth or Dare, which is a Blumhouse movie that came out in April. Mm-hmm. The fucking stupid-ass smiles on their face is what changed them into these demented people that would try to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Fuck that movie. It was awful. Such a horrible, horror movie.
Yes.
Life Itself, which was in September. Amazing cast. Such a good cast. And it just shit the bed all over itself.
Is this from the TV show, This Is Us? Is that one?
Yes, it's the guy who created This Is Us. Oscar Isaac, Olivia Wilde, Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. It's not. It's Antonio Banderas.
Oh, Antonio Banderas.
So racist. Mandy Patinkin. Yeah, it's got a great cast, but it's just. There's a death scene in this movie that is so laughable that I couldn't stop laughing.
Awesome.
Den of Thieves. We talked about.
God damn it! I had fun with this movie.
God, I fucking hated it a lot. I hated it so much. It's just such a blatant Heat ripoff, which don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of movies that rip Heat off, but it was just straight Heat ripoff. And I really hate Gerard Butler. And it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. I just really, I really did not like this movie. 50 Cent. It's just
all right.
A piece of shit. And then the last one is Proud Mary, which also came out early January with Taraji P. Henson. Just another, it's like a black exploitation movie that they tried to do, but it didn't quite reach those levels, and it just failed on every level. Just not a good movie.
Nice.
And I didn't like Crazy Rich Asians either, okay? I fucking hated that movie.
is this an honorable mention hate movie?
Yeah, it's number six, but it's like, because they're a different ethnicity, I'm supposed to like, oh, it's great. Like, romance. Sorry, make a good movie. I appreciate it. I like that. It's great. I'm glad that, you know, Asians are, it's becoming big in America and everything, but the movie itself is pretty fucking mediocre.
Nice.
It's just not that good. Sorry. It's a very basic romantic comedy. You know everything that's going to happen. Fuck it. Okay. Appreciate
it. Nice. All right. Well, before we go, I wanted to tell you, I almost forgot about this, but your review of Vice last week.
Huh?
I got a message on Facebook. The Binge Media page got a message with some political outrage for you.
Oh, shit.
Now, it wasn't actually directed towards you, but you're the only one that's reviewed this movie on the site, I believe. Am I right?
I believe that is correct.
So this guy says, he was angry that you, I think you didn't necessarily say anything bad about, I don't know. You just said that the director hated fucking Dick Cheney. Yeah. Like that's basically what you said, but you said the performances were good. I thought you looked at it as a movie and what that did for you. This guy was just like, you know, you base your review on a bunch of lies. Why don't you look at the facts and then review a movie? And all I did was reply to him. I said, I haven't seen Vice. That's all I said. So I didn't, you know, I'm not going to argue with a guy about a movie I didn't see, but at the same time, I could have got into it. There could have been a back and forth there. I was like, look, he reviewed a movie. He's not.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think all politicians are corrupt assholes. I don't fall towards one side. So Sorry, guy, if you're listening to this. Again, I don't know who you are, but I was reviewing just a movie for what it was. I thought it was fine, but yeah, whatever.
Well, he doesn't think it's fine because it's based on lies. This whole vice is all based on lies. Dick Cheney's a great man, apparently.
He's a Trump supporter for sure, so fuck him, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, he's
I'm just kidding.
I'm not getting into the politics, but I just thought it was funny. Like,
yeah, it is kind of funny, actually. I don't hear that feedback. That's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll forward it to you next time.
Yeah, just send it my way. And I'll be like, hey, guy, what's up, man? I heard you don't like me.
Hey, guy, I'm Chepstad. Or Stepchad Chepstad.
No, I like Chepstad more. Chepstad.
All right. So, as I said before, next week we're going to have two, maybe three movies. And then we're going to do Chad C's most anticipated of 2019, which I'm very excited for because I've already rattled off a bunch of movies. I think I did it last week in our favorite things and all this shit. This is going to be a big year. Actually, I did it on Binge Views too. This is going to be a big year for film, but they're all big, big movies. So I'm wondering if there's anything, you know, cause you're in the industry and all that shit. And if there's anything coming out that I should also try to fit in because I have to like make a separate bank account alone just to bring the family to film this year. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Every fucking week. Ugh.
I think we need to make Casey Palooza a thing this summer as well. We can come to our theater. You know, you and I just fucking actually watch some of these movies. Get it happen. Get it happen.
A fucking movie theater vacation where I just sit in a movie theater all day with you and watch movies?
Well, we have that. We got a full bar. There's so much. There's so much to do. We gotta make it happen, Law. Make it happen.
This sounds amazing. This sounds better than Lollapalooza.
Oh, shit. Hey, have you announced dates for that yet? Jared's asking. So.
All right, Chutzy. Thanks. Great top 10. Honestly, if I was to make a top 10, a lot of these are in mine. I'm very much been looking forward to mid-90s, so I imagine that might be somewhere close. But yeah, I mean, Quiet Place, Spider-Verse, Fallout, and Hereditary are definitely on my list. I'm just a little bit more animated and superhero-y.
That's right. That's fine. I grew up that way, and I've matured into a grown adult.
I'm not mature.
Right. I'm just fucking with you. It was good. Good show, man. It was fun talk.
Okay. Good. Thank you. All right. Until next week, I'll speak to you.
All right, man. See ya.